In chapter 7, we have two visions. One of the 144,000 with the seal of God on their forehead. The next is a multitude that cannot be numbered. We're going to talk about that today in the Word. Good morning and welcome back to Today in the Word. Hi, I'm Glenn Schaefer, and I'm so glad you're joining us on our podcast as well as our YouTube or however you've gotten this information. If you're watching it on YouTube, be sure to subscribe and thank you for signing up on the podcast on podbean.com. Today, we are in chapter 7, and it is really a continuation of the sixth seal, but we have two visions here that we get to talk about. So we're going to talk about the first one in the first eight verses today of this vision he saw and heard of the 144,000 that were marked with the seal of God. So let me read these verses, verse 8, and then let's get right into it. Is that okay? After this, I saw four angels standing at the four corners of the earth, holding back the four winds of the earth, and any wind from blowing on the land or on the sea or on any tree. Then I saw another angel coming from the east, having the seal of the living God. He called out in a loud voice to the four angels who'd been given power to harm the land and the sea. Do not harm the land or the sea or the trees until we put a seal on the forehead of the servants of our God. Then I heard the number of those who were sealed, 144,000 from all the tribes of Israel. From the tribe of Judah, 12,000 were sealed. From the tribe of Reuben, 12,000. From the tribe of Gad, 12,000. From the tribe of Asher, 12,000. From the tribe of Naphtali, 12,000. From the tribe of Manasseh, 12,000. From the tribe of Simeon, 12,000. From the tribe of Levi, 12,000. From the tribe of Issachar, 12,000. And from the tribe of Zebulun, 12,000. And from the tribe of Joseph, 12,000. And from the tribe of Benjamin, 12,000. Okay, we get the picture here of 144,000. Each of those tribes listed with 12,000, or the number of God's people, 12 in government, times 1,000. Before the fall of Jerusalem, what you and I need to know that Christianity was seen as a part of the Jewish people because the Christians, by and large, were from the Jewish community. That's why they were referred to as a sect of Judaism, or they were called the Way. And though they were persecuted greatly because and cast out of the synagogues because those early Christians were primarily Jewish. Now, we know from the time of Cornelius, the Gentiles were gathered in. But by and large, until the destruction of Jerusalem, Christianity was not seen except a part of Judaism in that sense. So what we see here is that the Christians that were Jews were not separatists. In that sense, that's why Paul, even writing to the churches, were warning them of Hellenistic Jews who were perverting them to come back under the works away from the grace of the Lord Jesus because they practiced those customs. In writing to Rome, he knew that there was a division between the Gentile Christians and the Jewish Christians, and that's what the whole book of Romans is really about, for them to come together, seeing that we're all sinners and we all need the same faith that Abraham had in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so he's going through this, explaining it. So those Christians would have seen themselves as the heirs of Abraham, as the heirs of Moses, as the heirs of the promises and the fulfillment that Paul often wrote about, that those who are of faith are of the seed of Abraham. So what's going to happen if God's wrath is being pronounced upon Israel in the sixth seal, bringing this decreation, if you please, of the heavens and earth? Then what about the church? What about the faithful ones who themselves would be living in a collapsing civilization, if you please? What would they what would happen to that remnant that they would remain? Well, Paul wrote to the Thessalonians and said, God has not destined us for wrath, but for obtaining salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. The church would be preserved. Yes, they would suffer persecution, but in the actual destruction of Jerusalem, of these seals that's being poured out and pronounces a judgment before that generation would be over, they would actually be preserved. That's in keeping with what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 24 and in Mark 13 and Luke 21. Mark 13 says, when you see the abomination that causes desolation standing where it does not belong, let the reader understand and let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains. Well, in Matthew, it says something similar. When you see the abominations, of desolation spoken of by prophet Daniel, then flee. Now, Matthew and Mark uses this term, abominations of desolations, referring to Daniel's word in Daniel chapter 9, because they were Jewish believers. They would have known what abominations of desolations are all about, standing where they not belong. This is a picture of the Roman Gentile armies coming into the city and into the temple where Gentiles did not belong, is abomination, and destroying it. This was God's judgment against his people, even as it was in Babylon. And you could say in the days of the Maccabees, when the desolation took place and there was Antiochus of Epiphanes, brought that desolation and abomination. That happened like 164 BC. Now you see the destruction of Jerusalem is prophesied by Jesus. Now we know those are Roman armies because Luke, writing to the Gentiles, did not use the term abomination of desolation spoken of by the prophet Daniel, because the Gentiles would not have understood that. So instead, what he says, when you see Jerusalem surrounded by armies, now that's the Roman armies, because they would come before that generation passed away, like Jesus prophesied, and would bring destruction upon the temple. So when you see Jerusalem being surrounded by armies, you will know that the desolation is near. Then let those in Judea flee into the mountains. Notice in Mark it says, when you see the abomination that causes desolation, flee. Matthew says, when you see the abomination spoken of by the prophet Daniel, flee, flee to the mountains. Luke comes along and says, when you see the army surrounded. So he explains to us what the abominations is. It's the armies, the Roman armies surrounding Jerusalem. He said, then you flee into the mountains and let those in the city get out, and let those in the country not enter the city. Why? The city of Jerusalem, because it's about to be destroyed. For this is the punishment, listen, in fulfillment of all that has been written. So the book of Revelation is an explanation to those early Christians of the calamity that was about to come, that God's going to mark those who are his. 144,000, symbolic of the fullness of those Christian Jewish believers in the 12 tribes that James says, of the dispersion of the 12 tribes. They saw themselves in the fulfillment of God's promises of what the prophets had prophesied. And so the warning here is that they would get out of the city. Well, apparently the Christians listened and got out of the city, because not one Christian lost their life in the destruction of Jerusalem. Now, many were persecuted leading up to Jerusalem, but not in the destruction of the Jerusalem. Jesus continues in Luke 21, says, and they will fall by the sword and will be taken as prisoners to all nations. That's what happened. 1 million Jews were killed, and then they were dispersed to all nations. And Jerusalem will be trampled on by the Gentiles until the times of the Gentiles are fulfilled. The time of the Gentiles began in the captivity of Jerusalem in about 586 BC under Babylon, and continued all the way up, so up until the time that the Gentiles destroyed the temple in Rome. Because when Daniel was giving the interpretation of what would happen to the world powers, he talks about Babylon, he talks about Medo-Persia, Greece, and Rome. And in the days of those kings, the God of heaven would set up a kingdom that would never be destroyed. And consequently, the times of the Gentiles really ruled over, so to speak, God's people, Israel, were always functioning under those Babylon rulers, Medo-Persia rulers, Greek rulers, or Roman rulers, until the times of the Gentiles be fulfilled, which was the destruction of Jerusalem. And up until that time, when that took place, then the church made up of the true Israel, the Jewish and the Gentile believers as one, would be seen because the time of the Gentiles would be fulfilled. That is spoken of in Romans chapter 11, verse 25, when it says that the blindness would be in part, and it has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles has come in. And then it goes on to say in the next verse, so all Israel will be saved. That's not when Israel will be saved, that's how Israel is saved, by the engrafting in of the wild olive branch. The Gentiles and the ones who have been cut off of the Jews are now grafted in by faith in Christ, making up the Israel of God. So Christians living during in Jerusalem during this time obeyed the prophetic warnings and they escaped. Just like Jesus said in Matthew 24:13, but he that endures to the end, the same shall be saved. He's not talking about the end of the Christian life or experience, but the end that he was explaining to the apostles when they said, when shall these things be? And what's the sign of the end? What was the end? The end of the temple, the end of Jerusalem that he's explaining in Matthew 24. And he says, those who endure to the end, the same shall be saved. It says in Luke 21:18, there shall not a hair of their head perish. That's in the destruction itself of Jerusalem. Now, obviously, they were persecuted leading up to it, but in that apocalyptic, if you choose, the end of destruction of that city, the Christians would be preserved. Now, that's what we see by those Jewish Christians who were marked upon their forehead by the seal of the living God. Those four angels that were called forth by God, be given power and authority to bring judgment upon the trees or the sea and the land. This idea of these trees belong, that's a possessive case, or it'd be called a genitive case. In the other languages, the English, that's a possessive case, that these trees belong to the land and the sea, or belong to Israel and those nations. So in this sense, we see trees biblically often referring to humans or mankind, particularly trees of righteousness of believers, because you see it in Judges chapter 9, it says one day the trees went out to anoint a king over themselves. So it's using the term trees in relationship to men, because we know Psalm 1:3 says the tree planted by the rivers of water. And then Isaiah 61 says that we're oaks of righteousness, and I could go on and on, but you get the picture. These are God's people that he wants to preserve, and that none of the trees would be harmed until these trees were marked. Well, the wind that is coming that he held back is obviously God's judgment. God comes on the wind, both for blessings and cursing. On the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit came as a rushing mighty wind. We know in Psalm 18, in the deliverance of David, God came as a wind. Psalm 104 says he rides on the wind. Psalm 135 says he brings forth the wind from his storehouse. And we saw in chapter 6 of Revelation where the fig trees were shaken and the figs fell to the earth like shaken in a wind and they fell untimely. It's talking about the stars falling from heaven, the authorities of Israel falling to the earth, being shaken by a strong wind, which was God's judgment. So these angels are holding back. They're not to harm until they've been marked. We see this in verse 2. He says, then I saw another angel coming after the four angels. I saw another angel coming from the east, having the seal of the living God. God sends forth this angel to mark people who are his. He called out in a loud voice to the four angels who had been given power to harm the land and the sea. He said, do not harm the land or the sea or the trees until we put a seal on the foreheads of the servants of our God. This seal was evidence of authority, of ownership, that they were marked by God himself. This is evident even in the scriptures where you see in Deuteronomy chapter 6, they were told to take the word of God and apply them to their forehead and to their hand. They're marked by God by how they thought and how they acted. That's a similar mark you see in the first destruction that came to Jerusalem by Babylon in Ezekiel chapter 9, when God had these angels commissioned to go in and execute. He said, before you harm anyone, listen to what he says, go through the midst of the city, even through the midst of Jerusalem, and put a mark on their foreheads of the men who sigh and groan over all the abominations that are being committed in their midst. What's he saying? Those who were repentant, those who were grieving over the sins of Israel, mark them so they're not destroyed. It's the same way here in the destruction of Jerusalem. Those who were righteous, those who were believers, the 144,000, the real Israel of God, the Jewish believers had a mark of God upon the forehead. They would be preserved, for an angel went forth to mark them. It's telling those early Christians, you're going to make it through it. You're going to be preserved. See, the purpose of this sealing was to preserve the true Israel of God as the holy seed. It wasn't designed to keep them from any tribulation, but they were to be preserved in the midst of it. Though all of old Israel would be cast off, the new holy Israel would be chosen. Let me read to you what Milton Terry says in his book on apocalyptic studies. He says, the purpose of the sealing was to preserve the true Israel of God as a holy seed. It was not designed to save them from tribulation, but to preserve them in the midst of great tribulation about to come and to glorify them thereby. Though the old Israel be cast off, a new and holy Israel is to be chosen and sealed with the seal of the living God. Milton Terry. So the number of the 144,000 is obviously symbolic because it's the number of Israel squared and multiplied 1,000 times. Isaiah speaks in Isaiah 6 when Isaiah saw the Lord high and lifted up, and he said, who will go? And Isaiah said, I will go. And God says, okay, go, but you have to tell them they have ears to hear, but they can't hear, eyes to see, and they can't see, because he is blinding them. But yet there would come great destruction, but a remnant would be left like a stump growing up from a tree. This is what happened, that not all of Israel was destroyed, as Paul said, because there was those believing Jewish believers. They were the same election of grace that Paul talked about in Romans 9 and Romans 11, that God would, though he would destroy Jerusalem, would not cut off his people, because there were some of those people who were truly Israel of God. Not all who are Israel are of Israel, but those who had faith in Christ were. So the first Christian church was formed out of chosen servants from God, from the 12 tribes of the dispersion, as James wrote to them in James 1 and 1. And the end of the Jewish age was coming to an end, but the Jewish Christians, the apostles and prophets, the gospel of the kingdom, was being preached to the whole world, known gospel then at that time, before the end would come. The first vision we see here that John describes in this chapter is God about to bring forth these judgments as being proclaimed. But the true believers of the true Israel of God, the Jewish believers, were marked with a mark and preserved and would not be harmed. Now watch the second vision. Don't miss this time in our next teaching today in the Word.